We're checking out a weekend festival in Milwaukee that's celebrating all things lunar. It is Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. A 23-foot replica of our moon is hovering above Milwaukee's historic Third Ward as part of a festival commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 landing. The inflatable moon artwork is called Museum of the Moon, and it's been on tour for several years. Are you fascinated by the moon? Do you remember when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon? What were you doing? How old were you? How do you feel about pop-up one-off festivals? We're at 800-642-1234. Kate Blomquist is a producer for the Under One Moon pop-up festival in Milwaukee, and she joins us from our studios in Milwaukee. Kate, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
So how did this idea to create this particular lunar festival, how did it come about?
It all really started with Black Box Fund, our organizing sponsor. They had seen images of Luke Jerram's piece, Museum of the Moon, and just thought it was beautiful and full of wonder, and thought it would be a great piece to bring to Milwaukee as their inaugural festival.
Okay, so this is a UK-based artist, Luke Jerram, and give us an idea of what this artwork is.
It is, as you said, 23 feet wide in diameter. It's made of material very similar to material used for hot air balloons. And so it takes imagery from NASA. It is printed on this material, and it's stitched together to create this just incredible sphere that is inflated and we have hanging above the fountain in Catalano Square.
Okay, so how is it up there? Like, how is it suspended?
It's suspended from a crane, and then there are guy wires connecting it to sort of give it some stabilization above that fountain. It is also lit internally 24/7, which it's really a beautiful moment. During the day, you can see this gorgeous object, and then around dusk, it just is magic the way it begins to glow from inside because of our sun setting.
Is the moon accurate in terms of what it is showing and the formations?
Oh, yes, definitely. This is imagery from NASA. The actual photograph that was used to create this piece, I believe, is 21 meters long. It's huge. It's absolutely enormous. And then was reduced to be printed onto this surface.
And so you were able to recruit this particular piece of artwork to Milwaukee for this festival, and then the festival kind of grew up around it?
Definitely, yes. The centerpiece is Museum of the Moon, but then we started thinking about all the amazing different cultural groups in the city and talking to them about it, and we got such wonderful responses. We have a great set of programming for the weekend.
Okay, so what does it mean to be a pop-up festival?
It means that this is only happening this weekend. It's not going to be like many other festivals in Milwaukee that occur every summer, have tried and true vendors. This is unique and is just happening tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday.
And why do you think Wisconsin should recognize, such a historical event like the moon landing and create a celebration around it?
I think the moon has just been so fascinating for people. I was not alive to see the moon landing, but it was a story that I heard about as a kid from my grandparents and my parents. And then when you'd go out at night and see it rise, the experience of seeing it, just the hint of it as the sun is starting to set and then it glowing above you, is just, it's a mystery, it's magic. I think it's something that can really bring us together.
We're talking with Kate Blomquist. She's a producer of the Under One Moon pop-up festival that's happening this weekend in Milwaukee. You can join in 800-642-1234. Do you have a fascination with the moon? What is it about the moon that intrigues you? What do you think of pop-up festivals like this one to celebrate a specific milestone in our history? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Kate, besides the replica of the moon, what can you tell us about other artwork that will be on display?
There is a lot of things happening. We will have several chalk artists and muralists live painting on Saturday and Sunday with lunar-based imagery. We are also going to have a Skylight Music Theater on Sunday doing a set of moon music. And on Saturday, a different group of musicians are coming in. We have Strawberry Moon Singers, as well as Holly Habig and her Full Moon family. They're doing an hour of storytelling. And we'll close out that evening with 1913, which is a really, really gorgeous sort of abstract music duo Janet Schiff and Victor De Lorenzo.
And we're going to get to the music later, but in terms of this artwork, this lunar artwork, what does it feel like? What do you see?
When you're walking up to the Museum of the Moon?
Well, and the other artwork on display as well.
Well, it's not that everything is on display all the time. It's definitely is a set of programming, which you can find more information at underonemoon.org, as well as on social media, Facebook and Instagram, and that you can search for Under One Moon or Black Box Fund to find that information. Everything's happening sort of like on an hourly basis.
How close can you get to the moon itself, the replica of the moon?
You can get pretty close. There is the fountain underneath that, directly underneath it, so you can't be directly under its center, and you can't touch it. It's definitely well above us. It's about 13 feet lifted into the air.
Yeah, and so that crane is off to the side then, and this moon is just there, lingering right above you, full moon.
100%, yes. When you approach the park from Erie, you can see it sort of appearing through the trees, or when you come straight down Broadway, it just has this gorgeous view down that boulevard.
Are you an artist? Have you created lunar artwork yourself?
I am an artist. I grew up in Milwaukee, but now I live in New York, actually, and I have created some pieces that were inspired by the moon. I did a residency in Kenya on an island, and it is absolutely fascinating how the moon affects the tides when you were living on an island. You know, there would be days where I'd have to completely change what I was doing because, oh, right, I'm used to walking to the market at this time, but right now the path is underwater. I've got to figure out a new way to go.
High tide, low tide.
Yes, definitely.
Very much deciding what you can and can't do in your day.
Yeah, and so I made these cyanotypes, which is a photographic process that is normally exposed with the sun, but I actually would use the moonlight when it was full because it was that bright.
Wow.
And then would rinse it with the tide water.
Oh, how gorgeous.
Yes.
And then, so these are actual prints?
Yes, cyanotype prints.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So now that you're back in Milwaukee, how does it feel to be home and organizing this festival?
It's so fantastic. It's been such a wonderful experience to reconnect with all these different performers and artists in the city and to really just feel their excitement to create something special and specific for the Under One Moon Festival.
Are you surprised at all by how much art there is out there that has a connection to the moon in some way?
I am not, actually. It's something we see on a daily basis. And the, you know, the once a month when it isn't present, you also feel that. And so I think it's just something that we maybe don't think about every day, but really does affect our lives.
So when you were recruiting people to be a part of this festival and artists and the lineup, you know, what was the draw here? How did you get people on board to put this festival together?
It really was Luke Jerram's piece. It is just a gorgeous object, and it provides such a moment of magic, I think. It's a unique thing to have in Milwaukee. We have a lot of great outdoor sculpture here, but to have something that's going to be here so briefly that is so large and impressive, I think got people very excited. And also the Third Ward. It is a really beautiful space in the city that has a lot of easy access, wonderful retailers, and the public market right there. It felt like a good space to have this pop up.
Yeah, can you describe the historic Third Ward and the square where this pop-up festival is?
I think the best point of entry is coming down Broadway. And as you walk down that boulevard, you have shops on either side. There's also the Broadway Theater Center down at the end towards Menominee. And then you reach the fountain in Catalano Square. It's this rather small, sedate fountain that has a really serene presence. Off to the right, there's sort of like a triangle of grass, so people can come and lounge in the grass. We'll have picnic tables set up. There'll be food and wine and beer vendors as well, so people can stay and hang out and sort of like create their own picnic with the food that we provide.
And when you come home and visit Milwaukee, are there some things that you just have to do when you're back that you really miss living in New York?
I definitely have to go to the lakefront. It is, you know, New York is on water, but Milwaukee's lakefront is very, very special. My sister lives down in Bayview, and it's just such a treat to, you know, hang out in the backyard at her house and then walk down and just see the lake and look up towards the skyline.
Do you find that Milwaukee has an artist community that is thriving, that is vibrant?
Definitely. MARN, the Milwaukee Artist Resource Network, has been really helpful with us putting together this festival, and I think they provide a great support system for artists in the city.
So when we come to the festival, of course, the moon will be there right for us, but you're also having some people speak at the festival about the moon landing. What can we learn about the moon when we come to this festival?
Yes, definitely. Their talks won't necessarily be about the moon landing, but will be about their moon experiences. On Friday evening, we have Jean Creighton from the Manfred Planetarium, and she's going to be giving some moon stories. I think she might even do a couple moon songs for us.
Hmm.
And then our other special guest speaker is retired astronaut Wendy Lawrence, who will be talking about her experience of becoming an astronaut on Sunday at 4 p.m.
And Wendy Lawrence, is she coming from out of state? Does she have a connection to Wisconsin?
She is coming from out of state. She is actually based in Seattle currently, but she has such a great presence. I think that she was the first female to graduate from the Naval Academy and then go into space. So I think her story is very inspiring.
We're talking about a weekend festival in Milwaukee that's commemorating the Apollo 11 anniversary. Kate Blomquist is producer of the pop-up festival. It's called Under One Moon. Are you a local musician or artist who performs at local events like this one? Where do you perform, and what do you think of Milwaukee bringing in local artists and performers for this pop-up festival celebrating all things lunar? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for a Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking about a Milwaukee festival opening today, running through the weekend, called Under One Moon. So this is a one-time event to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing, and the event features this 23-foot replica of the full moon created by this UK-based artist. It's called Museum of the Moon. Have you ever been to a pop-up festival before that is a one-off event? What is it like, and what do you think of these types of events? Join in, 800-642-1234. Kate Blomquist is organizing the Under One Moon Festival in Milwaukee, and she stays with us. Let's go to the phones now with Mr. G joining us from Madison. Hi, Mr. G.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind about this festival?
Hey, well, first, I just love that the idea of supporting arts in this way, mixing kind of a little history and science in with it. But also, I wanted to comment on 1913 playing at this festival, as I think their music will be romantically haunting or hauntingly romantic, just like the moon seems to be.
Wow. So are you heading out to this festival this weekend?
I am going to be there for some of all the things, but certainly going to catch 1913 set Under the Moon.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. Thank you so much. Kate, what about 1913, and how do you make music sound lunar?
We were really drawn to them because we want the experience of the moon to be relaxed and a little atmospheric. You know, we want people to be able to come and hang out underneath it, and I think what they provide is a very, very sort of chilled out zone for people to experience it and let the music just wash over them. In addition to that live music, we also have a surround sound piece that tours with the Museum of the Moon that's done by the composer Dan Jones. And that piece combines music and spoken word from interviews and original recordings from the moon landing.
Oh, so when you're in the vicinity of the moon replica, that is what you hear?
Yes. If there's not a performance actively happening, you will be hearing the Dan Jones piece.
What types of performances will there be? Can you kind of give us a sense besides 1913?
Oh, I mean, there are so many. I really, really recommend that people check out our schedule of events. We also have poetry readings. On this evening, we'll be ending the night with Don Linke on a jazz quintet featuring Janet Planet.
Mm. I love the name.
Yes, yeah. There's a lot of moon names that have come up. We've got Janet Planet, and on Sunday we have Renee Bubo Luna, who is doing she's doing 2 hours of free tattoos, henna tattoos for kids, but then she will also be doing this durational performance where she's going to try to cover a model's nearly entire body with lunar imagery.
Wow. Okay. So what type of dancing will there be?
For dance, we mainly have Water Street Dance, which is actually going to perform twice on Saturday. They'll do an afternoon set, and then they're going to do a reprise of a few pieces in the evening so we can feel sort of the magic of them in the dusk of the moon when it's become lit.
And for families, as they attend this festival, are there some really kid-friendly options?
I think every day is extremely kid-friendly, but on Sunday we have a few special things. We have an imagination station play area for kids. We'll also have some moon beach balls to hand out. And I think the henna tattoos are always exciting for kids, too.
Yes. So, you know, as we start to wrap up here, Kate, what is the atmosphere that you are trying to create and that you will be able to be there this weekend and say, yes, that is it?
I think our atmosphere is one where you get really entranced by the magic of this object and you're able to experience these different performers that don't always do, you know, the summer festivals in Milwaukee. Most people we have coming in are not regulars per se at other festivals, so it's a really unique experience to catch them here.
Kate, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Kate.
Kate Blomquist is producer of the Under One Moon Pop-Up Festival in Milwaukee, and she joined us from our studios in Milwaukee. You can find a link to the festival information on the morning show page at WPR.org. Time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum, who takes us on a miniature train ride in the Wisconsin Dells.
An historic railway dating back to the 1940s welcomes thousands of families to southern Wisconsin every year. Courtney Everett rides the rails to learn more about steam locomotives.
Tourists come from near and far to visit the Wisconsin Dells. Tucked off County Road N, there's the smell of coal and a sound that draws families to the Riverside and Great Northern Railway. Nearly 16,000 families come yearly to ride a mini steam locomotive through the woods.
I love it. I love coal smoke in my lungs and steam oil in my veins.
That's board member, conductor, and engineer Jim Schultz of Sheboygan. He says Elmer and Norman Sandley created the mini railway in Janesville in the late 1940s, called the Sandley Light Railway Equipment Works.
Our track is 15-inch gauge.
It's a much smaller version of tracks back then. The Preservation Society acquired the railway and its facilities after the father-son team moved their business to the Dells in the 1950s, and it remains there today. The Sandleys started the business to help tell the story of steam locomotives in the U.S.
There's something about the technology, the moving parts, the smells, the sights, the sounds, that just captures your imagination.
Although these locomotives are smaller, retired mechanical engineer Gary Martin says 250 volunteers work to preserve the railway. He says maintaining it, along with two steam locomotives and 14 buildings, is a year-round job.
We've got one member that basically does nothing but paint. About the time he gets done with the last one, he's ready to start over again.
But right now, volunteers are focused on repairing their track. Preservation Society President Stephen Bradley says heavy rainfall destroyed half the railway last summer.
We got 4 inches of rain in about 2 hours' time, and then we got an additional 10 inches of rain throughout the night.
That created landslides and washouts, creating a shorter ride than usual.
We are making an extra trip out to help make up for the rail loss time that you would have.
But on a warm summer morning, that doesn't stop volunteers from getting Locomotive 98 up and running.
It takes about two and a half hours to fire up a steam engine. It takes a while to boil 50 gallons of water.
back it up to the water tank, fill it up with water, couple to the passenger cars that are in place already, and first train at 10.
And you can't forget the coal.
Wow, that's a small football. It'll burn.
Then families like the Wojeks await departure.
Kids love the trains. I like the trains. That's why we came out.
We were here when he was like 3 months old, maybe, or maybe a year old. And so we were just coming back to see it.
As the top of the hour approaches, you hear a familiar phrase and know it's time.
All aboard!
How old are you?
Three.
See? We'll give you two extra punches.
Once aboard one of 8 windowless passenger cars, families take in nature, fresh air, and get to learn more about the railway.
This is a direct fuel injector. Don't worry, it's a shovel.
After it's over, it's not really over for railway volunteers.
It's a good place, great people, worthy cause.
Who get to do it again tomorrow.
Beautiful scenery. And did I mention steam locomotives?
WPR's Courtney Everett brought us that story on the Riverside and Great Northern Railway, which runs through October. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowland Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend to mornings@WPR.org. That's mornings@WPR.org. And we'll explore your tip for a future Wisconsin Weekend program. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.